Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
More as a Jeff Hurst, the trailer booking and Billy Bones, a Paolo DiCanio, a West Ham United. We celebrate our victories, we stick together in defeat. I'm proud of our history, the West Ham United, more than just a podcast. More than just a
morning, good afternoon, or good evening. This is more than just a podcast. Season 13, episode 16, and the hits keep on rolling in. And guess what?
What?
Tonight, we're not only on time, right? We said we'd start at 5:15 on a Monday, and we started on the dot of 5:15 on the Monday, right?
Right.
We're starting early, which means the podcast goes up early, yeah?
What happened last week?
Last week we went on for 3.5 hours.
But I only got a message on Twitter yesterday or whatever that it had been posted.
Ah, yeah, well, that's just because I was a bit late posting on Twitter. But if you have your notification on all your popular platforms, you would have got from Spotify
so it did get posted.
It did get posted. The first one got posted on the night while it was still when we were recording the 2-hour second one that you missed out, John. What a cracker that was. But I'm sure you've heard all 3.5 hours.
Yeah, no, I'll go back to it now. Now I know it's been posted.
Funny enough, according to Dodsey, I was speaking to Dodsey, and we're introduced you guys in a minute. He listens to it on 1.75, and he says our voices now don't, when we talk to him in person, our voices don't sound normal. Because apparently, if you listen to the podcast in 1.75, we sound completely different. So there you go, John. Listen at 1.75. It's not 2 hours at 1.75.
Why is Dodsey in such a rush?
I know, he's retired.
Has he got something else to do?
Well, maybe he has, but we won't talk about it.
People to see.
Penny might be listening. Anyway, welcome. John, where are you? What are you doing?
At home, doing a podcast with yous.
Ken and Tamlin, where are you? What are you doing?
Sitting at the table, coughing regularly.
Cool. Oh. Nigel was on holiday. We don't know where.
From what?
From us, isn't it?
Yeah,
it could be. George... Well, what can we say about your son? I'm sure he said last season, right? This season, I'm really going to make an effort to turn up to my own podcast, didn't he, John?
Yeah.
Does he lie a lot, John? Or
no, he's just...
Does he lie a lot?
He's been in Portugal. He's out tonight.
I don't know where he is tonight. I don't know what he's doing.
He said he was out. I don't know where he's at.
I don't know. He's his own man.
He's a high flyer. He's flown the nest.
He's a high flyer and he's getting higher and he's getting more. Yeah,
that's probably why I can't do the podcast. It's getting too high.
He's outgrown us. I think he's outgrown us.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Possibly.
Anywho. Guess what? No questions tonight. So no 3.5 hour marathon. Don't worry, John. No. Stand by your heads.
Maybe we do another podcast later on in the week. Still a lot of football to be played.
You never know.
We're not promising anything.
No. You and me, Len, yeah?
Yeah.
And John, if he's available.
Yeah. What they call a chemistry meeting, that, Sean, air trade.
Oh, yeah.
See how well we get on. See if we take it to a pilot and then to a city. You never know how these things work out.
Anyway, we have got two games to talk about. Arsenal and Brentford, two ends of the scale. We've got David Moyes and Steiden to talk about. We've got Mbama to talk about. And of course, we've got a David Moyes poll to talk about.
You're joking. Not another one? Oh, for God's sake, I can't stand this.
I know how you feel, Maureen, but we are going to talk about the David Moyes poll. I'm just looking for an excuse to use that jingle.
You're just something wrong with you, honest. There really is. Some of the things you say and do, I'll just like,
you've given up though, haven't you, John?
Oh, I gave up a long time ago, Sean.
I know. Anyway, let's go back to last Wednesday night. Miserable night. Raining, but I'm really glad I made the trip. And you had a ticket, Len, but I'm not. I can't remember if you used it or not.
No, I didn't go. I can't remember. Oh, I do remember why. Actually, this is sad, but the real reason is that my mum, who's got Alzheimer's, she was having a good day.
Oh yeah, you did say that. You said I've had a good day and I don't want to spoil it.
Yeah, I don't want to spoil Gander Stratford in case it just turns, you know. Not necessarily the West Ham.
You'd
Ham
have
bit.
Had an even better day if you'd have gone.
Well, still had a good day because West Ham mind. I don't have to be there.
So did you watch it though?
Oh, of course.
Good. Well, yeah,
I did. I enjoyed it.
It was good, wasn't it?
Yeah. I can't remember why it was so good, but
well, because we won 3-1.
Well, yeah, I can't really
Turn up, and you know, and the atmosphere was great. I don't know if it came over on the TV, but you know, we were really going
in
a little sing song, you know, singing to Ramsdale, and of course having a little bit of banter with Declan Rice.
Yeah,
you should have gone to a big club.
That's right. It's all coming back to me now.
Declan, what's the score? Declan, what's the score? There you go. But he was all right. He was all right. Anyway, he only came in the second half. So let's talk about it. I mean, obviously, didn't Arteta say...
Arteta.
Didn't he say, I don't need my first team to beat West Ham? Or was that an urban myth?
I don't know. I don't listen.
Maybe he didn't say it, but by the team he put out,
yeah,
shows that he probably thought it.
And they were...
Well, he still didn't change it half time. He thought you could do it 1-0 down and serves him right. No one cares. I'm glad he's having a bad week. Don't like him.
I mean, that statement, we'll get on to well, we won't because it's not an Arsenal podcast, but that statement is just childish. Arsenal and them going, it's like bad sportsmanship, isn't it? Crying over spilt milk.
Cool, not much.
But anyway, it's not an Arsenal podcast. It is a West Ham podcast. Thank God. 3-1. First one was an own goal, if you remember rightly, off a Bowen corner.
Yeah.
Was it Bowen or was it
nice
Kudus?
Corners putting in.
It was Bowen, wasn't it? Bowen corner.
I think it was, yeah.
And then second one.
And the Raven topped Ben White with his funny haircut.
He's got Burchett on his head.
It's a strange look he's adopted.
Got Burchett on his head. Mohamed Kudus. Good goal. And the man,
Bowen.
The man Bowen, immense, gets the third goal. 3-0 up. And they score on the 96th minute. By the way, true story, bro. George Murph, who sits next to us, had 3-1. He had a fiver on 3-1. So he won about 880 subs. So
he
was praying for the that goal to go in the end, and he sort of jumped up. Everyone thought he was an Arsenal fan when the goal went in. True story, bro.
Cool story too, bro.
Yeah, I know. So let's talk about the game. What do you remember of it?
Who, me? Well,
yeah, you.
You know me. You said that on purpose. You know what my memory's like. We played really, really well. I'm trying to think of why. I can't remember if there's a formation shift or... Hang on a minute. Antonio was dropped, wasn't he?
He was, yeah. Bowen,
that's why.
Fabianski in goal. Soufal. Mavropanos. Agur. Emerson. Suchet and Alvarez in the middle. Kudus. Pakatar. Benrahma. And Bowen up front.
Cracking, wasn't it? Now, you see, I'm not a fan of Bowen up front. Well, I am a fan of Bowen up front, but I don't want to see it because, you know, it'd be nice to sort of have him where he is. But, you know, fair Peyton Moyes, or ooh, whatever happened, I don't know, to make a change like that. It worked and we enjoyed it. Sometimes it's the little things, you know, the little changes you need to make. But it seems a long time ago. I know I've got a bad memory.
It was only Wednesday.
Yeah, I know. But, you know, it seems a long, you know, when football's coming thick and fast, unless the momentum's going with you, you know, things can evaporate into it as well. Especially with the cup when you beat the mighty Arsenal and then you draw with Liverpool away 10 minutes after or whatever. That's a bit of a kick in the knackers, but no, a good game.
No VAR. According to Arsenal, Thomas Suchet was holding Ramsdale's shirt.
Oh, the ball's already in the fucking net. What's wrong with them?
The VAR at this stage would have ruled it out, according to Arteta.
It's not an Arteta podcast.
It's not, is it?
Nah. Thank the Lord for that.
You thought it was all right? I didn't see the replays. Did the replay show it was all right?
I don't give a fuck. The ball was... It doesn't matter. You could have had Phil Parks standing next to him. He still would have gone in the net.
Yeah.
The ball was thundered in. It was a great header. Near post, unstoppable, in the net.
Yeah.
1-0, really pleased. Couldn't care less if he... It was irrelevant Suchet was holding the goalkeeper's shirt. It's just nonsense.
Possession.
He was, though.
he was.
He was pulling him about and it would have got disqualified, I would have thought.
Possession, we only had 28 possession, 8 possession at home.
It didn't look like that.
72 for the Gooners. We had just 5 shots, 3 on target. They had 14 shots, 3 on target.
So all 3 shots went in?
Yeah. Well, one of them was an own goal, so I'm not sure the own goal really counts as a...
Kudos has had 2 cracking goals this week, isn't he?
Yeah, yes.
God, what a player.
12 fouls apiece.
Exciting player.
4 corners on our side, 6 corners on their side. Obviously, they didn't start James Ward-Prowse. He came on the, I forget, about 88th minute, wasn't it? Or something quite late. But yeah, no, let's go to John. John.
Hello.
We tried to persuade you to come out. I think you would have really enjoyed that game.
I think I would have. I did enjoy that game, Sean.
Yeah. Oh, you watched it? Yeah, of course.
Yeah. It was a good game. It was good to watch. It was...
Arsenal, good West Ham. Which one?
It was a good West Ham. I mean, as far as the changes to the Arsenal team, there's still plenty there. And
Ramsdale did look shit. We were singing too shit for England and then too shit for Arsenal, which the Arsenal fans applauded when we said too shit for Arsenal. Harsh.
Yeah. Well, did I... He wasn't at fault for the first goal.
Yeah.
The second goal was just, I mean, Kudus, or whatever you want to call him. He took the diagonal ball, didn't he? Controlled it and basically just swung his leg and it went through the defender's legs and the keeper, past the keeper. And then Bowen belted in the last one. So,
yeah.
I mean, He did do a decent save right at the beginning of the second half, didn't he? Because Bowen got through.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're right.
That was a change as well. So it was a lot of it was forced changes, wasn't it, for this game? Because he had to play, he needed really to play Paquetar and Alvarez because they're both on suspensions now.
Yeah.
So that made our team a better team than it probably would have been. And then Antonio's just so out of form that, you know...
He had an injury or something, or a slight knock, which is why he was dropped. He wasn't even on the bench, remember?
But, like, Paquetá and Alvarez were really good.
Yeah.
It was a typical good Moyes display. Typical Moyes ball, as good as Moyes ball can get, that's how it is. 20-odd percent possession...
Did you boo Declan Rice?
No. Why are you ridiculous?
I know, but lots of people did, particularly around my section, and I just didn't get it. And I said to a few people, I said, why are you booing him? And
they go, join the team down the road.
Pantomime booing, it doesn't mean anything. And yeah. I was thinking, every time he touched the ball, people booed. I applauded him. And
just as bad as the booers.
I went, jolly good show. Come on, you guys. And
you should do nothing because the reason I understand why you would applaud the guy because of the service he's done, with the attitude he's done. But then again, I understand why people would boo him, and they're two different things. You can boo him and still think the same as the people that applauded. All you were saying is, and a lot of people don't understand this, and our American friends don't understand this at all, and they're the type who want to applaud him. But what you have to understand is, he negotiated a move 3 or 4 miles down the road.
Yep.
And the West Ham fans, they don't like that. And the difference is, it's the Paul Lynch situation without the shirt on.
Yeah.
It's just exactly the same thing. Pantomime booing, yes. But yeah, he got a boo. And it all worked out all fine.
He looked gutted. But I should have qualified. Oh, no, he didn't
give this shit. He was gutted. He's a fucking grown boy.
Why I clapped. Why I applauded. And
We know why you applauded. That makes sense. Why? Well, because, you know, you think he's a good servant to the club. We got
not why I applauded.
Come on, Sean. Give us your shitball story about why you applauded.
Because he showed us respect. At the end of the game, and I waited right to the end, he went to the four corners, four stands, and applauded.
All right. But I don't understand. You must have applauded before then. Are you saying you did nothing?
I don't think I did it. I didn't join in the booing. I didn't clap when he came on. I filmed it, actually, because I couldn't clap when I was filming.
But doesn't that exactly explain his pantomime booing?
Why are people booing every time he touches the ball? But afterwards, when he showed respect by clapping, going around to the four stands,
and then
suggested to do that by X.
Then he got the applause back, didn't he? It's like Victor Spinetti. I know he's dead now, probably. Victor Spinetti plays the baddie every pantomime. At the end of the show, when he takes his bow, he gets the applause and not the boos. It's the same thing. If you want to make things a drama, that's what happens.
Do you know, the only thing that slightly annoys me is, and I don't know which social media it is, but he posted himself, either Twitter, Instagram, I think it's Instagram. He wrote a picture. He puts the picture of him in an Arsenal sheet going, "My team forever." Didn't take him long, did it?
Nah, look, we know what he's like. He's already turned his back and off.
Who cares about that, Sean, honest?
No, I suppose I should.
The problem is, Sean, it was so much of this booing stroke applauding thing was made so bigged up before the game because people just need something to talk about. Yeah. It's all fucking shit. Who cares?
Anyway, yeah. I had a good time, and hopefully, John, you had a good time. It was a good old-fashioned London Cup derby. We sung, the atmosphere was great, and we left the night feeling like $1 million.
It was the archetypical Moyes ball at its finest, where you don't have any possession, you score when you counter-attack. And you don't look like you're overly troubled when you're being pressed. And
felt nervous. And I really had a good time.
Yeah, good for you.
Good.
We all did.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. But, I mean, back to the Rice thing, what you also got to remember is that he was negotiating and sitting down with
Arteta.
Oh, I know that.
6 months before he moved or whatever, while we were in the middle of a relegation battle. So
yeah, I know that.
People know this stuff.
That's why.
People know this stuff. It's like all this media why would they boo him? Why, you know, well, that's kind of, you know, if you're inclined to feel that way and want to boo and do it, that's a good enough reason in my book.
Yeah.
If you want to boo, I suppose you can boo. I just found it a bit disrespectful. Anyway,
So it's disrespectful to sit down with Arteta when we're in a relegation battle. That's disrespectful.
That he went, Soufal said he went to the dressing room and greeted all the players. Have you got a problem with that? Some people had a problem with that.
No, before the match.
That's all right.
And he went up to Bowen and gave him a cuddle afterwards. You got a problem with that?
No. It's after the game, isn't it?
But I would imagine that most of them are his friends.
Yeah.
No problem with that.
Anywho.
He didn't give Moyes a cuddle, though, did he?
No, he didn't.
Paqueta did with
true. It all came down to a crashing end. after the draw, which said it would be straight after the Man United game and ended up being like an hour after the United game. I kept on saying on the WhatsApp group, it'll be in a minute, it'll be in a minute, it'll be in a minute. And it was like an hour later. And I was nearly home by the time it was...
Well, the amount of people who actually put on Twitter and said, like, let's just get this over and done with. Let's just announce it's Liverpool before...
Yeah, I know.
You know.
And there you go. We got Liverpool. Yeah. We could have got Maidstone and Port Vale or whoever else was in it. But we got Liverpool away in Anfield. Great.
Yeah, well,
got to beat them all, though, John.
Well, yeah, you have, but, you know.
There's easier people to beat.
Yeah, it'd be
we're
nice
in the quarterfinals.
Yeah.
Cup run. Yeah. Oh, well. Anyway.
Yeah, what's that? We've won two games.
Yeah.
It's a good cup run.
But, of course, our heads were held high. Our tails were up. We were really going, well, you know, we could walk into Brentford and turn our slump around. Remember the six game rule. This is, you know, this is Moisiah territory. And we went on to Brentford Community Stadium. I know none of us were there. Who wants to start with that one? Did you both watch it, first of all?
Yes, I did.
All right, we'll start with you, John, this time.
Okay.
Were you apprehensive? Were you full of the joys of spring when you were entering this game?
I wasn't apprehensive or full of the joys of spring, no.
No, you were just your normal miserable self, yeah?
Well, I mean, our history against Brentford is bloody awful, so I wasn't really expecting to win.
And we haven't got Pakatar, we haven't got...
Yeah, when I saw the lineup as well, when I saw our central pairing of Souček and Ward-Prowse in midfield,
yeah,
I just sort of thought...
Souček, Kudus the other side, Ben Round the other side, Bowing and Tony up front.
Scare anyone.
4-4-2, Emerson, Agur...
Yeah, it was 4-4-2, played 4-4-2 and it changed it. I mean, and it did make it for... I would imagine as a neutral, it was a very entertaining game. Hmm. I mean, we started off as the Norman. They were like 10 minutes or so.
Well, they scored on the 11 minutes, of course.
Yeah, got possession and we were barely doing anything and they were all over
us. Here we go. 11 minutes in, 1-0 down.
Yeah, then we had a little 20-minute spell not far after their goal where we got our goal, which was an incredible goal.
Oh, what a goal. Kudos.
And then we had the
19 minutes, just 8 minutes later.
Just, it's just.
And
it's
7
just,
minutes after that, Bowen again.
You just like.
Not forget Antonio's assist, by the way.
It was an Antonio assist. And Antonio isn't. Antonio shouldn't be playing as an attacker, and he shouldn't be playing as our own striker. Mm. But apart from that, yeah, it was a good delivery, a great finish, top world class. And, you know, we've got to enjoy him while we've got him. Because he's another one like Pakatar that, you know, they'll be gone. So
2-1 up
goal.
At half time. Yeah, a little bit of confidence then, haven't we?
We had a little because we had a good 20-odd minute spell where we got the goals, and then the last 5 or 10 minutes of the first half they started to come back into it.
Hmm.
And then the second half we might as well just give them the ball. And it was terrible. And you know I know I've said this before, but we were playing 4-4-2, but we could have played, we could have played 4 up front and sort of 6 at the back or whatever, because we didn't use the midfield in the first half. It was just long ball all the time.
Mm.
And it was, you know, tactically, I mean, what's his name? Brian in Bremo or whatever his name was.
Yeah.
He was just absolutely tearing it down on the wing all time and time again, absolutely ruining him. And, you know, I was on the group and I was crying out. I mean, you've got to change it. You've got to change your tactics to protect that side. He was ruining him. And so it was just frustrating, to be honest, because you kind of knew that we weren't going to retain that lead, having got the lead. Just sort of felt like, you know, it was going to come any minute they were going to score. And for them to score how they did with the, basically, was it Mopay, Malpay or whatever his name
Malpay,
was?
Malpay, yeah.
Hasn't scored in how many hundreds of games, gets his goal.
Yeah, of course he does.
Brentford haven't scored from a corner for how many games? They score from a corner.
Hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, our defending, what's happened to our defence?
Yeah.
Why can't we defend?
Yeah. Well, I've got a theory. I mean, what damaged us was the crosses, and we had no Zuma there to clear them.
Yeah.
I think the defenders we had have other specialities. Although Zuma seems a bit broken, we need to kind of look past this.
What's happened to Zuma? What is it?
Well, he's just fat, really, isn't he?
Where was he, Sean?
He was injured.
Right.
He is injured.
Yeah, permanently injured.
I can't see him not being injured again. Sorry to butt in there.
No, it's fine.
But I agree. I mean, well, I say I agree. I enjoyed the drama of the 4-4-2.
Yeah.
I mean, I know it left holes, but as the spelunker says, holes for climbing out of rather than falling into. And it was fun to watch.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was
it. Holes are fun, as they, well, I should say.
It was. I didn't, because we're doing a slightly earlier podcast, I didn't get a chance to watch it again. So I can't say what happened in the second half. But I must say, during the first half and the early moments of the second half, because of the formation we were playing and the personnel on the pitch, I was enjoying the fact that when we went to 2-2, I thought we had it in us to win 3-2. As it happens, I just think the lack of tactics from Moyes, you know, the changes from Moyes compared to the Brentford manager, whose team, Brentford, didn't make any mistakes, actually, and we did. In the end, that was enough to beat us, and that's what happens, and that's kind of what's getting ignored. And this is one of the reasons why people are saying, you know, we want to see the back of Moyes, because we don't see enough change. But
do you blame Mavropanos for the own goal 10 minutes after, 55 minutes?
It's down to him. He got the own goal, but he wasn't done on purpose, and he was trying to clear the ball. So,
the momentum seemed to change after that. They came out with more purpose, and about 14 minutes later, obviously Collins.
Oh, in the second half, they just,
and we didn't have any answer, really, did we?
What was the possession?
Well, funny you should. I'm really glad you asked me that, John.
There you go.
Because I'm not at all ready. It's Brentford had 59% of the possession at home. So we had 41. They had 16 shots, 4 on target. We had 12 shots, 2 on target. So they both went in. They had 4 corners to our 3. We fouled 14 times to their 12. Dirty West Ham.
And, you know, they had a good game and we had mistakes in us. I think that's what that is down to.
But our corners as well, you know, where's the threat from our corners gone?
Who is it who said, and I forget who it is, it's down to the players, not the manager?
Me, really.
One of the players said that. It was either Bowen or...
Oh, Bowen said that.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm not sure to put it that way, but I'd certainly say, I mean, it's the players making mistakes. I think if you'd set them up the same way, look, let's be honest, what the fuck was Antonio doing? We could have gone 3-1 up. Oh, and now I find out he's got... I've got a little analogy here, right? It doesn't sit well with Moyes and Antonio. So Antonio said on the podcast, right, he's got a bet on...
Yeah, I know.
...with the guy getting goals. And then you got that. Now,
Callum Wilson,
reverse the clock back 40-odd years when McAvaney and Cotty had a bet on who was going to score the best goal and we won beating Watford. John Lyle fined them each a week's wages. They didn't get paid because they put the bet on.
Yeah.
Now, we're led to believe that Moyes is a disciplinarian.
Yeah.
And I've said this before. Where's this gone? Because I just don't understand why he lets Antonio do a podcast and it's spilling onto the pitch. I don't see he is a disciplinarian. I just see... And I know we're going to move on to Moyes. It might be a good segment, link. But a lot of these things I admire about Moyes are disappearing over time. And that time is wearing down that it looks and sounds like he's not going to have the contract renewed. So I'm disappointed in Moyes' lack of discipline with Antonio. And I hope to see less of the pair of them, actually. Is my honest assessment.
It was a terrible miss, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It's crackers. Absolute crackers. Oh, well, what can you do?
Anything else on that game before we move on to the five big stories of the week?
No, I just reiterate the fact that I was disappointed that, I mean, Emerson was on an early yellow card, wasn't he? And he just couldn't cope. He couldn't, and there was just no cover. And just, you know, it's at times like that, I would bring on Creswell and play him up in front of him. Because when you've got a player like that attacking you and destroying you, I find that very frustrating. Watching the Moyes ball.
I've got a confession to make. I missed a lot of the second half. I had a little Saturday afternoon snooze. You know when you get to that age where a nice little afternoon snooze sort of goes down a treat, John? You must know that.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
I don't know that.
You've never had a little snooze on the sofa?
I don't sit down on it during a sort of Saturday afternoon as a snooze.
Little snooze? Why not?
I don't. What were you doing the night before?
I think I was up late. I mean, not late, but like 1 o'clock in the morning. I had a little old man snooze. I missed their goals going in.
Did you sort of fall asleep watching the game?
Yeah, I did. What's that to you, John? Yeah, Moyes ball. There you go. Good segment. Obviously, the big five stories. We're going to talk about Steiner and Moyes, Mbeumo, Tony Carr, a poll, and Moyes may be moved upstairs. So let's start with Steiner and Moyes. You know, you're probably aware, because I know you two are, I did a little segment with Gonzo and Hammer's chat after
something.
Well, after I did a tweet and he asked me on and said, can you come and talk about this? So I did, and you can watch it. But you seem
surprised that your tweets caused... shit, you know.
Yeah, I know.
I just throw away comment.
It wasn't just like game rule.
I'm surprised that, you know, so I was like headline. Sean sends out shit stirring tweets and finds it unusual.
The old six game was a David Gold thing. I'm not saying it wasn't used by David Sullivan at times, but you know, stats are stats, right? I'm not sure it's ever been followed. But the more I hear about it, and I said this to Gonzo, there's something strange going on. Because usually, people at West Ham big up themselves, right? David Sullivan bigs up himself. Karen Brady bigs up herself.
Not much.
David Moyes bigs up himself.
Brady out.
Right? Mark Noble bigs up himself. It's quite a selfish egotistical. Oh,
they're all self-centred wankers. I tell you this, Sean.
Right. So it's very rare when someone else bigs up someone else at West Ham. But that's what's happening with Tim Steidon. So people in the club are bigging up Tim Steidon. They're even giving him credit when maybe the credit wasn't all his. You know, he's been credited 100% for Kudos.
Right.
For Alvarez. For Mavropanos. For signing the new Boeing deal. All I'll say is it's very, very unlike the people at the top. There must be a reason. That said, I do think he's installing himself as a football number two. And like I said to Gonzo, I don't think we've had one. You know, we've the de facto director of football, even though we couldn't have a director of football under most managers' contracts, has been David Sullivan. Karen Brady's only ever run the... sorry, that's my ring doorbell.
You've got your Amazon coming.
It is an Amazon, actually.
Yeah.
It's, you know, Brady's only ever run the business part of the business, right? So we've never really had this proper person in charge. And now we have someone they can trust. But here we go. And this is what I wrote. There's a battle going on behind it. I got led to believe, when the stories came out, that these two weren't getting on. I rubbished it because that's what the club told me. Now I'm not so. Now I'm hearing, well, maybe there was a little fire to the smoke, and maybe that Steidon nearly did walk when he joined, and there was disagreements over the summer, and he didn't want some of the players that now have been proved to be really well. But I don't think, and some of this is speculation, but some of this is based on what I've been told. I don't think Moyes is going to lose his job over results. I think Moyes is going to lose his job over his failure to work with Steidon in the transfer market.
It's off the field.
It's off the field.
We know what we're going to get on the
earlier,
field.
Didn't we?
Yeah, we did. Len. We know we don't like it.
And then the big crunch time. You know, the biggest. He's not going to get a renewal of a contract this season, right? If he gets a renewal, it'll be at the end of the season after the review. And I think that's unlikely. I don't think he's going to go unless he is obstructive to getting a striker or an extra player in January. And the key for me is that key period between Christmas and New Year when they set Pellegrini and he came in. That's the key bit. Because by then, the targets will be identified. Steidon would have gone to the board and to Moyes and go, these are people. If he is obstructive and starts pushing back, that will be his downfall. And I've speculated there will only be one winner, right? Mm. If it comes down to who you're going to back, Steidon or Moyes, I think the board backs Steidon.
Mm. I was having a conversation with a certain ex-manager.
Oh, yeah,
and
I know the one.
Ex-player of the year.
Oof.
This weekend.
Try
it wasn't my conversation.
You're giving a bit too much away there, Len.
Well, you know. and they seem to think that the situation Moyes is very unhealthy for the club and the staff. And, you know, their attitude is, well, you can't let people not know who their bosses are in the not too distant future. And really, you've got to play the game of everyone's fine, keep extending the contract until the time where you don't want to and pay them off. You can't do it like you do with employment,
yeah.
You know, getting the contractor in. You need to do things the same as everyone else does them. And what this causes uncertainty. And you can't get the right players knowing that the manager can't be there.
But word is out, you know, he's being picked up, Steidon is. We know he's going to create a list of possible managers. We know we've got a manager in waiting that could take over short term. I forget his name. The Ajax manager is now on the coaching staff. What's his name? I always forget his name. Anyone?
Don't know.
You know who I mean, don't you?
The Heitinger.
Yes. That's who I mean.
So the backstop's there if you want.
The backstop's there, yeah. But you know, senior sources going, we're on our contracts, we're not sackers.
This is what they're like. There's
no one's available at the moment, which I'm not sure is true.
Yeah.
We're not sackers, we honour our contracts. So, you know, nothing has changed from that point.
No, beyond, that's a problem.
Beyond
isn't it?
Stuyden.
Nothing's changed.
Beyond Stuyden. I still think Stuyden's going to come up with a list. There will be this contingency plan, and at some point, enough will be enough. And I think it might happen over Christmas. If it doesn't happen over Christmas, it's going to be in the summer.
Well, if he doesn't, if Stuyden is everything that everyone sort of hopes he is and starting to show that he is, he will know that what you've been saying, Len, about being unhealthy to run the contracts down, destabilising a football club and all this sort of stuff. He will know that. So
yeah.
Hopefully he would be able to get in there and...
Well, I mean, the other bit, did you read the Daily Mail story? I think I sent it to you, which makes no sense at all, although some people interpret it in different ways. Daily Mail said that in the summer, David Moyes may retire from being a manager and go upstairs. Now, it sort of led that he would take a position within West Ham, but a lot of people on Twitter have gone, oh no, the story's just badly written. They're saying he'll take a senior role within UEFA, which, I don't know, may be true. What I said was, you know, we've got a technical director in Tim Stuyden. We've got the director of putting out the cone. Sorry. Sports director in Mark Noble, who mainly looks at the academy. What role are we going to give David Moyes to make a third sort of de facto director of football? That all committees work well in that arena, don't they? They just don't see it happening.
Well, do you think Sullivan has got enough of sort of respect and liking for Moyes, given the fact that, you know, Moyes has used the largest amount of money that our club's ever spent and, you know, wasted.
I think
quite
he's
a
grateful,
lot of it.
But he's frustrated. I think he's grateful but frustrated in the current results. And, you know, we've gone from hot to cold. You know, we'll talk about the poll in a minute, but I ran a poll whether we should renew a contract with Moyes after we beat Chelsea and we got 10 points from our first few games. And it was like 70% renew now. And now it's the opposite. We're flip-flops, you know? We go from a few bad results.
Does that surprise you?
No, it doesn't surprise me at all. Then, and I'm sure football's
it was
like
pointless
that.
Exercise then.
Well, maybe. Anyway, let's move on to Mbeumo. Because obviously we spoke about this last week, but now we know, you know, it's all about the money. He wants first team wages. They want to send him out to a championship club on a loan, but won't do till he signs a new contract. I speculated that part of why he's not being played is he won't sign a new contract. Other people have said, no, that's rubbish because he played in Gakia. But, you know, we are seeing now a pattern: Sonny Perkins, Harrison Ashby, Jamal Baptiste, and I well, named
some,
them in an
some
article.
Some of the lads have gone to Sunderland. I've seen
they've
been highly rated. And
yeah, no, the Athletic ran quite a big article of all the people who have left, some you've not even heard of. So, you know, it would be disappointing if Mbeumo goes, but there's part of me that says if we're to believe this, you know, we don't want to be in an Oxford situation where we pay 40 grand a week and then, you know, he gets big time Charlie. You know, I do think that the deal that we offered Declan Rice, about 35 grand a week with 25 grand appearance money and 10 grand on the bench and 5 grand pay rise every 15 games, is what we should do with our young people. I think agents turn people's heads and go, we want 25, 30, 40 grand a week for someone who hasn't made the first team yet. And I know he hasn't given his chance, but he played 6 games, I think 4 of them Premier League last, and he played like 300 minutes last season, Mbeumo. And he's played 2 games, 25 minutes this season. We don't know if he's the real deal, but... be honest, John. I'm going to ask you and then ask Lynn. Would you pay him first team wages? Give him what he wants?
Would I?
Yeah.
I would negotiate very hard to get some kind of clauses in their appearances and all this sort of stuff. I would try and sort of engineer a deal that he's on a, like a decent wage if he plays and if he scores. You
well,
know?
I think that's what West Ham prefer as well. But agents don't want that anymore. They want guaranteed basics for their young players. And the problem is, if West Ham don't give it, there's plenty of, you know, clubs like Newcastle that will.
But then, see, the
that's
thing
what
is...
happened with Harrison Ashby, you know. He was paid big money, first team wages straight away, that West Ham weren't prepared to pay.
But then, see, the issue really is the fact that you don't want to give him the big money because you don't know whether he's going to succeed, whether he can do it at this level.
Yeah.
But then you've had this whole period up to now where we've got two very out of form strikers and they don't play him.
Yeah. Mm.
So well, if he was getting games now and he was playing week in, week out for, I don't know, give him a 5-game run, and then you'd be able to probably judge what you think is coming off, well, coming from him.
Funny you should say that, John, because Danny Ings, as you know, came on in this game on the 64th minute. So he came off for an ineffective Miguel Antonio, an ineffective striker coming on for an ineffective striker. So do you know, I know you're saying this because I sent this to Ings was on the pitch for 30 minutes. How many touches do you think he made?
Hold on, let me look it up. Cause
I know you sent it.
So do you want to just spout it out, sure?
Yeah. 5 touches, no passes. He won no duels. He made no shots. But despite that, he managed to get himself booked with a yellow card. Not the greatest of appearances, is it? 5 touches, no passes, no shots. Shocking. And,
not
and
great.
You know, that's where you think, well, you know, what did you have to lose except put Mbama on and see what you could do for those 30 minutes, you know? You were chasing the game by then. Anywho, the next story, which not... Len, do you want to tell this story about Mr. Carr?
Not particularly.
Oh, well, I'll tell the story.
Go on.
So, a number of people told me this, but there was an event in Romford on Friday night. Len was there, but this story didn't come from Len.
Oh, it did come from me.
Oh, well, I was trying to protect you, Len.
Oh, you don't have to do that.
All right.
I thought, I'm Brady out. I mean,
It did come from Len, then. But I did speak to others who verified it. And
and it's not news. It's just...
It's not.
What I heard.
Tony Carr was just
happy I remembered something for once. I was showing off.
Tony Carr was doing a tribute. And to actually, a testimonial speech that would help him raise money to get season tickets at West Ham, because he doesn't get anything from the club anymore. He has to rely on his brother-in-law or other West Ham fans to go and see West Ham after 43 years. And basically, the story he tells is, you know, after 43 years, he was caught in 2016. He was called in by Karen Brady and said, "Don't sit down. This won't take long. I'm replacing you." And he said, "But Miss Brady, there's a reason for that." She went, "I don't want to hear it. You know, talk to HR, you're out." I paraphrase. I've written what Len and others told me. And I wrote this on Twitter. It's about 160,000 views. It went really viral with people very upset with Karen Brady.
Yeah, we are.
As Russ Budden and a number of other people pointed out, and Russ was there as well, this is nothing new. This was all in the book. And I publish extracts of the book. And it's one of those things where, you know, people who are absolutely outraged, well, these outraged people didn't buy the book that Tony Carr wrote last year and published. And he tells of this story, how, you know, at one point he was called in and bigged up and said, you know, "We want to bring in Terry Wesley's work with Karen Brady and David Sullivan and David Gold. And we want to promote you to director of football." And he thought, "Director of football, that sounds good, doesn't it?" And then they came back and said, "Oh, we can't call you director of football because Sam Allardyce has a clause in his contract that there can be no director of football. So we're going to make you academy director." Okay. And here's your job description, 10 points that Karen Brady wrote to him. Okay, fine. But he said, and look, it's there on my Twitter if you want to read it, that basically he was called in by the CFO, who then said, well, we've made a decision. Your role's not needed anymore. You can either have redundancy or you can work as an ambassador one day a week. You know, this is, and he talks, and I won't read the book, £10.11 on Amazon, buy it for Christmas. He says how bitter he felt, and they gave him a pair of season tickets for the first season, yeah, in 2016, 2017. And since then, nothing. He refuses to ask the club for tickets, you know, out of pride. And here it is, ordinary West Ham fans going, raising money so he can have some season tickets. He apparently went to Prague and he spoke to people, said, you know, he went on his own dime. And everybody said he's a very genuine person.
He's
a
great bloke. Yeah.
And are you right? The players did it all for free as well, that were there, the old players. Yeah.
While you're filling in all the details, my only concern is, and this is why I let you know of it, is that he's a great bloke and Cameron Brady treats people badly. And, you know, people should know this. They should know why I say Brady out all the time. This is really why. It's got no place anywhere, that attitude and that behaviour. The guy is just an incredible producer of talent.
Mm.
And
But he's not alone, is he, though?
No,
he's
not alone.
We talked about this, Len, this morning, how... it's not him alone, you know. We knew Eddie Bubrington through BSB at West Ham Till I Die, who made friends with Eddie Bubrington. He lives in almost poverty in a flat, doesn't afford, can't go to football games unless people help him or the club wants something out of him. Tony Cotty, I hear, doesn't even get tickets. You know, none of the old boys get tickets unless they're doing official duty as an ambassador. It's just not done. However, and that's fair enough, right? Because I understand. I've heard Brady say, oh, but, you know, we're a business.
You've got to draw a line somewhere. You can't have a...
However, there's an argument against this that we spoke about, Len. What's the argument against this?
Well, the fact is, they make exceptions. Is this what we talked about?
This morning.
Yeah.
Social influencers.
Yeah, social influencers are making this. Yeah.
You know.
And
they give oodles the numbers of free tickets. Yeah. To YouTubers and rappers, wrestlers, you name it, and think that that social influence is going to make some difference to a business.
Yeah,
I mean,
and we know
I
it
don't
doesn't.
Know how many extra tickets or season tickets or shirts have we sold because the Sidemen are West Ham fans, or that WWE
wrestler. I think
wrestler,
one of them is, isn't it?
Yeah, one of them is. Or, I don't know, a rapper is seen in the dressing room. Does that really do anything for the
No, it does nothing. No. It helps them. Well, I say it helps them.
Whole, you know, the whole cast of Ted Lasso get free tickets. But our own West Ham...
Flesh and blood, yeah.
And maybe we're old, and I'm including you in this as well, John. But, I don't know. I'd rather see, you know, social media of ex-players watching games than... some social influencers. Maybe
I would, because I don't know who these social influencers are.
Maybe it's because we don't use words like slay, that we're just not with it anymore.
Well, you've never been with it, but yeah.
I know. But
I
understand that when something's good, you say slay. I don't know if you've used that in context. But
we used to say skill when we were kids.
Slay.
And you used to put your hand in your belt loop and flick your thumbs up. You just said skill.
you know, good on. Buy your book. Buy the book for
that's what you want to do.
You know, go out. And if you want to support him.
Yeah.
Go
exactly.
And buy it.
Do it.
It's
everyone.
Called A Lifetime in Football, West Ham United. £10.
Do things directly.
In paperback from Amazon. Buy it for Christmas. Yeah, a little Christmas treat yourself. Anywho, the last story of the day is a David Moyes poll.
Who'd have thought
joking.
It?
Not another one? Oh, for God's sake, I can't, honestly, I can't stand this.
So, David Molesworth, in or out after the next game? In my poll, and a few other, I know Hammer's Chat did one and so did Clarence Hugh, in my poll that I did for about 6 hours, 4,209 took part. 32.3% said Moyes in. 67.7% said Moyes out. The outs have it. The outs have it. That result will be shared with the senior, or was shared with the senior source today. You think it'll make any difference, John?
No.
No. It's all for content, isn't it, mate?
Did you share it with him when everyone wanted him to get a new contract?
I did, yeah. And he said, too soon. And he's made a point saying, I was right, yeah.
We all knew that.
Yeah.
This is how you achieve success in life. You've got to temper the good times and not get too bad in the bad times.
Just don't, mate. Just be afraid to make a decision and then just hope it just sorts itself out.
Well, I'm not talking about him. That's quite right. That's what he does.
Mm.
He's only worried when, if we look like we're going down, that's the only time he reacts. Don't worry about this. You've got to see it out. Hopefully he behaves himself Christmas, you know, the January transfer window.
He's here to the end of the season,
yeah,
isn't he?
Of course we know that, yeah.
There's no point in locking yourself in the lava. We're just going to steadily
fall down the table. Spoiler alert. Stop giving away the ending.
We've got an ending? There's some kind of structure?
Anywho, predictions. We're all on 53 minutes, which is amazing. But this is going to be a short podcast, just under the hour. Predictions. Now, John, you're going. Olympiacos. You and George are going. I'm really looking forward to Thursday night.
That's nice.
We'll be able to drink. I'll buy you a pint of Ghost Ship, John. How's that?
Was that in the ground?
Yeah. Or do you want a little bit of ABBA? You and George have a little Dancing Queen.
Yeah, we'll see what the times are. Right, might have a bit of ABBA before.
Yeah, all right. Looking forward to it. But could be a bit tasty, Olympiacos.
Drink, though, yeah, tasty.
A bit tasty. Very, very tasty. I don't know what that is. What's that from, Len? Come on. Tasty, very, very tasty.
Kellogg's Brown Flakes.
Ah.
Abbott, Mead and Vickers.
Oh, there you go. There you go. So, John, prediction. Olympiacos.
We're going to win 2-1.
Oh, okay. And then it's Notts Forest, isn't it? Nottingham Forest.
Nottingham Forest. We're going to draw.
Do you come into that as well?
No.
Why?
I'm out again.
Oh, John, you do know you've got a season ticket, don't you?
I know. I know I have. But I bought it knowing full well that I've already got lots of things on.
What are you doing at the Nottingham Forest game? That's on the 12th. What day? 2 o'clock kickoff?
I'm doing things, Sean.
Oh, that would be on Sundays.
It's just. If it was Saturday afternoon, 3 o'clock, I'd be there.
Okay. Right. What did you say for the Nottingham Forest game?
2-2.
2-2. Canning Town, Len.
Yes.
We see you there Thursday, yeah, because you love the European games under the lights.
Nah.
Oh.
I'll go weekend though.
Good. All right. Well, give us a score for Olympiacos first.
Oh, that's a
toughie. By the way, I'm going to do a Super 6 and add it up. John got a correct score on 2-1 the other day. So, or 3-1, whatever he said. So he's got 5 points for that. But I'm going to go back to the beginning of the season. I'm going to tally up our scores. George ain't going to do very well, if I'm honest with you, John. He's going to probably be at the bottom with his predictions.
Oh. What's that? Me and you and Len, isn't it?
Really? Yeah, really. Yeah, the people turn up, mate.
I'm going to go. I think I've got a funny feeling they're going to be in the mood, you know.
Who the other team? Arcos.
Yeah, but that's not to say.
Oh, that was the one he got 5 points for. 2-1 away from home. He said they were going to win. That's what you got 5 points for, John.
I know.
Yeah.
Oh, we started that, have we?
Yeah, we have. How am I doing? Well, I don't know. I've got to round it up for the next Monday. I'll have it all ready for you. Because I'll go back the 15 episodes to work it out.
Right. I think it's going to be 2-2 at Desmond.
Oh, okay. And Forest?
I feel like dark times, but I think it's a typical game that they looked all right actually when I watched Forest, but I think that's a typical game we'll win, and I think 2-1 to West Ham.
All right. So I'm going to, instead of just saying 1-0 each time, I'm going to have to try and get some scores.
Yeah, no, you've got to use a bit of nous.
So I'm going to go 2-0 win for Olympiacos.
You're going to think 2-0? What, Olympiacos are going to win 2-0?
No, no, West Ham are going to win against Olympiacos. So West Ham 2, Olympiacos 0. Just to be clear for the tape.
Yeah.
And Forest, I think we're going to win 1-0.
1-0? Do you think?
Yeah.
Do you think we're going to better? we're gonna hold out.
We got
the same like defensive record as someone like Luton or something.
I think we're gonna hold out. We're gonna put 11 men behind the ball. We are gonna have like 10% possession, but we're get a penalty and score that, and that will be the only difference.
Well, at home.
At home. Yeah.
And you ask me, you're not coming. You're not coming. What's wrong with you?
I know. Yeah. Anyway, looking forward to Thursday. So
you getting there early then, Sean?
I have to look at what time my son leaves school and where he can meet. He comes to Rains Park, so he can jump on the train with me. But we'll talk about that close to time.
All right.
It's not a railway podcast. Anyway, I've been Sean. Nigel, no. Len's
been nothing.
Nigel's been on holiday. Len has been.
What have I been?
I don't know.
I've been here early.
Yeah.
You haven't been coughing as much as you thought.
No, I've been muting, but no, look, it's gone.
Do you know what?
I've been in good health. That's what I've been.
It's quarter past six. We're going to have this podcast up before we usually start recording. And John has been.
I've just been glad to be here.
Yeah. Oh, excellent. We're under the hour. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Like the old days.
I know. Come on, you
people will complain. Postman and the lorry drivers.
Bobby, no questions.
More than just a podcast.
You're joking. Not another one? Oh, for God's sake, I can't stand this.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.